Welcome to the first ever Leaf podcast. This is Brian Gray. I'm the CEO of Leaf Trading Cards. I own the company, but all my friends call me BG. So from here on out, if you're listening to this tonight, you are my friend, so you may call me BG. This is BG with the Leaf first ever podcast. So pumped to do this. I've been thinking about doing it forever. Not that I want to do this high production, fancy schmancy, you know, try to make it global impact kind of podcast. Really just a chance to talk about, I guess this is something I've always done in the hobby since I've been at the helm at Leaf. It's just to talk and kind of look behind the curtain a little bit, share a little more information than manufacturers typically share. Be honest about what's going on in the hobby with respect to what we do, what other manufacturers do, what dealers do, the whole food chain, and just really to have just a conversation. So no big sales pitch or anything like that. This is not going to be a show where we talk about how awesome Leaf is, even though I personally think we're doing a great job on a lot of things. It's not going to be that at all. It's more of an industry discussion. So I have a few topics tonight that I thought would be awesome for the first night. We're not going to have uniform time where we're going to be on for exactly 28 minutes or 33 minutes or 30 minutes, 1 hour, whatever. We're just going to talk. When I run out of stuff, we'll end it. That's great. Every week, I'll try to do a couple of things. I'll try to talk about something related to, I guess, my expertise, which is going to be in the manufacturing side of the business. For example, tonight, we'll talk a little bit about redemption cards. There has been so much talk about redemptions over the last 10 years since redemptions have become so prominent. There's been tons of talk. We've seen lots of issues popping up here and there. My goal is just to kind of let you see kind of what goes into the process behind the scenes, because I think a lot of collectors don't know exactly what's happening behind the scenes that leads to the need for redemption cards. So I want to talk a little bit about redemptions tonight. Number two, I'm going to look at something more global in terms of the hobby, kind of like, I guess, the trends, the big picture things happening, you know, and we've heard a lot from this Gary V, controversial guy, really just some people love the guy, some people don't love the guy, but he gives very strong opinions on things. He recently made some comments about the bull market that we're currently in trading cards, so I want to talk a little bit about that, kind of give my 2 cents to add on to his 10 cents, see if it's the same, different, who knows. And lastly, I think I have a little bit of perspective that I like to share with respect to things that I see in the market as opportunities in terms of buying. You know, this market has been crazy lately. So I think there's certain things in the marketplace that are undervalued or underappreciated. So I always like to end the show, I guess, with, I'd like to end the show with something that's, a taste of things that I see that might be undervalued. And then also a taste of things that if I were a stock analyst, I would be advising people to sell. You know, if you saw Trading Places, you remember sell, Mortimer, sell. That's kind of what I'm thinking here. It's just those, I guess, hot button names or products or what have you, where I'm like, oh my golly, I see a train wreck coming. You know, get out of the way. So I think that'll be kind of a fun little just a way to approach this. So I guess we'll just get started. Look forward to talking to you guys. And feel free to hit me up on Twitter. At Leaf_TradingCards, Leaf_Cards, or you can hit me personally at @LeafCEO. That's LEAFCEO. That's my personal Twitter, or at @Leaf_Cards. So you can hit us up after the show and I guess give feedback. Tell me we're crazy. Tell me we're genius. Or you can hit us with topics you'd like to hear in the future, what have you. So let's start with redemption cards. It's been a crazy time, you know, more and more over the years. We have seen the need for manufacturers to include redemption cards in products. I've been on record saying I hate it. You know, I even laughed a couple times and said I equate it to going to McDonald's, going through the drive-thru, saying, yeah, I'll take a number one with cheese, mustard only, with a large fry and a Coke. So I drive around to the drive-thru window and they say, here's your burger and your drink. Come back in 8 to 12 weeks and we'll have your fries. You know, it's crazy. You know, in principle, it sounds like it makes no sense. It's not fair and all these things. But this is where people who don't have this view behind the curtain like we have don't really appreciate or understand the challenges that go into this. So the first and foremost is when we do a deal with an athlete, we basically say, okay, I'll just pick a name from the past. Let's say Ezekiel Elliott. We will do a deal with you where we'll pay you X amount per card. We'll need you to sign at least this many cards, but it could be as many as this many cards. And when the time comes, you have 3 weeks to return the cards. You know, once we send you the cards, you have 3 weeks to return them. This is our best laid plans. Now, in our head, we're thinking, okay, we really have 4 to 5 weeks, but we're going to tell them 3 weeks to give us a little leeway to try to really have that extra flexibility to do whatever we can to avoid putting redemption cards in a product. So Ezekiel Elliott, if you remember, in 2016, was a hugely popular name, a guy you had to have, really one of the most exciting names in the draft. So we do that deal, let's say. And I'm not picking on Elliott because he actually returned his cards and we never needed redemptions for Zeke, which was fantastic. But let's just use him as an example because he was a high-impact guy. So we tell Zeke, okay, we need these cards. So we send him his cards. For one reason or another, things can happen. Again, everybody wants on card. So let me take a step back. On card is why redemptions are where they're at. Consumers, dealers, everybody wants on-card autographs. They want the player to hold the card and sign it, which intrinsically I totally, totally get. You know, who wouldn't want a card that the player actually touched? So I totally get that. It's so much better when the ink's on the card. Makes it much more personal. Totally get that too. But a lot has to happen before that player even sees the card. The player has to sign a deal with a company. The company has to procure artwork. The company has to design the cards. The company has to print the cards. And it's not like we can just go print Zeke's card. These cards are printed on 100-up forms where we have to have 100 subjects at a time and usually an entire product at the same time. So we may have to design 200, 300, 400 cards before we can even print the first card. And you can't just print one guy at a time, especially with metal or Valiant or any of our technology-based sets, because you can't print them that way. You have to print them in forms of 100. So let's say we do our deals in January when the kids come out of college, or early February in the case of the top quarterbacks, because they're always the last ones to sign. So let's say we do that. We can't even start to print the first card until second or third week in February. Technology takes time to print. 3 to 4 weeks is a dream to think you can execute in 3 to 4 weeks. Then you have to send to the player. So we're already talking about a situation where we're way behind the eight ball because we have to wait till everybody's finished in order to finish these jobs and to print them. So we do all the printing. We send all this out. So finally, we send out to all the players. We've signed a contract with a player that says they have to return them in within 2 weeks. So now, let's say, for example, that Ezekiel Elliott is traveling around visiting teams, which we had a player this year that was traveling around visiting teams frantically before the draft and had no time to sign. He said, I think he could have signed this player, but let's say he couldn't. He was too busy. So many interviews. So he's too busy to sign. The set's about to come out. So now here's the great choice. People tell us, well, you should tell this player you're canceling their contract if they don't sign by this date at this time and they don't do what they say they're going to do and they violate the contract. Well, here's the problem. I've put out sell sheets that show Ezekiel Elliott on the sell sheet. You bought the product from your distributor or your dealer because you know that Ezekiel Elliott, the most desirable player in the draft, is going to be in that product. So now, let's say Ezekiel doesn't return the product. Am I supposed to pull him out of the set? Tell him, you didn't honor your contract. Get lost. We don't need you because you have to honor your word. And if you don't return him, of course not. If I pulled Ezekiel Elliott out of that set, you would freak out. I would be lynched on Twitter. You would blow me up on the phone. My email would be full of hate. How dare you switch out on us? How dare you not do what you say? How dare you bait and switch? And I've seen that happen in the hobby before where people advertise something and couldn't deliver it. I know what that's going to look like, and it doesn't look pretty. So for me, we have an option. We can either pull the guy out of the set, out of principle because he didn't return his cards on time, which actually harms the consumer because you bought the dang product because Ezekiel Elliott was in it. Or we can put in redemption cards and say, you know what, we're going to bust our rump to get these cards in as quick as possible so that you get the best player in this draft, the most desirable name, and that we can deliver that as soon as possible. And we are just so sorry that we weren't able to get it out in time for the product. This is the hardest thing ever because it's not a case of, I'm not even sure we can cancel our deals because of the way contracts work. We actually would have to give them notification in writing that they did not honor their part of the agreement by not returning the cards within 2 or 3 weeks. Then they have 14 days to reply to that. Then once they reply, then they have 2 weeks to rectify it. Honestly, there's really nothing a card company can do once we sign a contract that puts us in a relationship with a player and the player doesn't return the cards on time. Sometimes these redemptions are going to be unavoidable. Now, with that being said, our goal is when we have to put redemptions in the product, not because we want to, but because consumers expect to see players that are solicited as being in a product actually be in the product in some capacity. Our goal is just because we make the product doesn't take the pressure off. And that's where all of us manufacturers, we have a responsibility. We've got to pound the pavement after the product comes out, after we've collected the money. We can't rest on our laurels. We've got to go pound these guys and be up the backsides of these agents telling them, you got to get these guys to sign. Please, please, please. Consumers are waiting. We can't keep them waiting. It's a bad reflection on the player. It's a bad reflection on Leaf. You know, this is what we do every day. And it's amazing. In our metal football this year, we had four or five of the guys' redemption cards back in our building before the product even came out. And there was only a week for packaging in between. So in those 5 days we were packaging the product, four guys' cards came in. I think we got another one or two after that, and I think we have one or two outstanding. So, I mean, really, we've gotten back 6 out of 8 redemption players within 10 days of the product, or 14 days of the product releasing. Now, this may not be the norm. You know, far too often, some redemptions do get long in the tooth. But I can assure you as a manufacturer and someone who's consulted for other manufacturers for years. I mean, I was at ProSet in 1990, and we didn't have redemptions back then, thankfully. But I also consulted for Upper Deck. I've been around the block. And I can tell you that not one company in the business intentionally puts redemptions in for the sole purpose of making their customer's life uncomfortable or to screw over the customer or to capture value that's not there. I mean, not one of us does that. Now, am I involved in the back room of every manufacturer? No, I'm not. I'm not going to be naive. You're not naive. You're not going to believe I'm talking to every manufacturer about what they do. But I can tell you that the manufacturers hate this. It costs us more money to do this. Even though the player doesn't live up to the agreement, let's say it's a guy we pay $3 an autograph. It'll cost us more to fill a redemption than what we paid the guy for his autograph in the first place. And in some cases, more than the revenue that we got for selling the card. Trust me. We don't want redemptions. In fact, at Leaf, if there's a guy that's really not important to the set, in our opinion, and was not on the solicitation, we've been known to pull guys out and just say, you know what? Out. For example, Equiminius St. Brown, last year in the draft, he was in retail. I think he might have signed his medal, but then he was impossible to get on the phone to return his card. So we basically said, we're canceling you from the rest of the sets. We're not going to advertise you in the sets anymore. You know, that's what it is. Now, is he going to be a great receiver? Maybe someday, and someday we'll feel foolish that we didn't keep chasing him down. But at the end of the day, we have to make decisions. And some players are too important to not put in redemptions. And other players, it's a function of where they went to college or, you know, whatever it is. There's guys that we just can't pull out of these sets. And so we have to make an executive-type decision. Now, I think the most important thing is that as manufacturers, we have to know when to say basically. When is enough? And so we have to look and say, okay, it's been 4 months and this agent's not even calling me back. This guy ain't going to return the cards. So sometimes we'll have to say, you know what? We tell the agent, tell him to return the cards blank. We'll replace the card. And when we replace it, we're looking for an equal or greater value replacement. And when we say that, we really mean it. And we try to give a better value. You know, I know Logan Woodside, a quarterback who was in... I think it was 2017, maybe, or 2017. He basically ended up not making it. He had some personal issues and ended up in the AAFL or AAF, whatever that defunct league is called. And we have some outstanding redemptions because he never returned some cards. So we're filling those with DJ Moore autographs. I mean, like first-round guys, sometimes second-round guys. But this guy is a quarterback that's probably not going to make it now. And we're filling it with guys that still have big upside potential or some upside potential. So, again, that's the key, I think, is as a collector, try just a little bit to look at what the manufacturer is going through. Look at the fact that we have contracts we cannot get out of. And in the case of a licensee, we're not even a licensee and we can't get out of it. If you are a licensee with one of the major leagues, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, those players' associations, there is no way they're letting you out of an agreement because the cards are 3 weeks late. 0% chance, zero, zip, nada, no way. So I think we have to be a little more understanding of what these companies are going through. But at the same time, we expect, you know, in our building, I know we expect to do a great job of executing in making sure that we fill redemptions quick that we are diligent in fighting to get autographs back, and that when the time comes where it doesn't look like it's going to go the way we want it to, we know when to say when. And so I think that's a great start, because that's the one category in this business I've never been happy with. I've even done like Brian Gray autograph cards with had my picture on it, which is probably the worst thing about the card. But I wrote redemptions suck, and they really do. I always hated those things. And again, we're fighting to try to get rid of that. There is a way to get rid of redemptions tomorrow. There is a way to be done with redemptions. Are you ready? All sticker autographs. Drop the mic. We're done. Let's just do all stickers. Everything's fine. Because then when we sit down with Ezekiel Elliott, we have him sign 1,500 or 2,000 stickers, and we put those on cards, or 3,000 or 4,000, whatever the number is, and we put them on cards all year long. We never have to send cards off to the player. And what's amazing about it, the products will come out so much faster. No products will be delayed because we don't have to wait for autographs. You know, it's a piece of cake. We have all the autographs in the building before the first set even comes out. If you have a damage or something, we can replace it because we have another autograph sitting right there. That solves all the problems, except consumers want on-card autographs. So we've got to do something. I'm a collector too. I didn't say that in the beginning, but I am the only CEO of a trading card company that actually collects trading cards. Seems so crazy. Normally, someone who is in a business is a consumer of the business. The CEO of McDonald's eats at McDonald's regularly. Okay, if you make trading cards, you dang should understand trading cards. So as a collector, I can tell you, I have to make a choice. Am I willing to get rid of redemption cards and wipe that out completely? The cost is very simple. Sticker autographs. Or is the personal touch, knowing that Ezekiel Elliott picked up that card, put the ink to paper, and took just a moment thinking about that autograph that would inevitably end up in my collection. If that emotionally means that much to me, then redemption cards are going to be a thing we have to deal with. The key is, like anything in life that's not a win-win-win-win where everybody wins, we've got to do our best to take lemons and make lemonade. So hopefully that's a little bit of insight as to how the redemption card thing, from our perspective as a manufacturer, what we're dealing with on the memorabilia card front, the redemption card front, sorry. And I guess just this will be an interesting discussion going forward. I'd love to have you guys direct message me and say, hey, I still don't understand this about redemptions. Or maybe I'll start a poll out there and just say, hey, do you want on card with redemptions out there? Or do you want sticker autographs everywhere with no redemptions? I would be so curious to see the reply. I think the answer is on card until you have a redemption. Then I think the answer is sticker. And then once you have all sticker autographs, then you wish you had on card again. So I don't see a great solution to that one. But I just think it's a topic that no one really talks about besides the lynch mob mentality. The manufacturers are terrible. They're trying to do this. I don't think so. Like I said, I think we all want to get out of that part of the business. We'd love to have every autograph in the packs. But until we go to 100% sticker autographs, it's impossible. That'll be interesting to see what this hobby does and if it sends us that direction to the sticker autograph because they're tired of redemptions, which I guarantee you, some of these big efforts to try to put a stop to redemptions, if you get what you want, it's going to be all sticker autographs. Do know that that will be the solution to the problem. I'm a visionary. I get it. I see it. I do it every day. You're going to have all sticker autographs going forward. That is it. If we push this redemption issue and say we do not want redemptions. So I'm going to be an excited bystander. In the meanwhile, we're going to do a great job of executing, which we have done. I think our oldest redemption right now is probably 90 days, maybe 120 days, maybe. I'm not even sure 120 days, maybe 90 days. And I'm excited. I think we're doing a good job given what we're dealing with. But I can't wait to see how you guys react. On card and some redemptions, all stickers, no redemptions. Going to be a great thing to watch. Next thing on my palette, my agenda tonight, is Gary Vee. Now, I got to say, I watched this guy talk about trading cards and the reasoning for this renaissance in cards, this excitement, this bull market. And I heard him mention the idea that maybe some sneakerheads or sneaker dealers were getting in the business. I can tell you one thing. There's definitely a lot of outside money. alternative investors, guys who would have normally bought art and wine and real estate and whatever, that have enough stocks in their portfolio and are looking for something different. And I think some of those guys were probably kids during the early boom. They remember cards, they collected cards, and now that they're hearing about this renaissance, you have these people dogpiling to try to buy cards. Gary made some great points. But I will tell you, I said in 2017 at the Las Vegas Industry Summit, which was put on by Beckett, I speak there every summit. I give about an hour speech, usually try to do about 15 minutes of big picture, about 15 minutes of pumping Leaf up and telling people why Leaf is great, because I think we do a great job. But the last 20, 30 minutes is all Q&A. But the thing I started with, and I'm dying to get this video. If someone out there has this video, please send it to me. I will send you something really, really cool. Because I want this video because I remember exactly the words I said. I said, guys, you don't even realize that we are at the very beginning of the most incredible bull market that this industry has ever seen. The beginning of a multi-year bull market, the likes of which we've never seen. And when I say never, I'm talking bigger than 88, bigger than 89 in the glut overproduction years. Way bigger, because you remember those were $12 boxes of cards. We have boxes of cards now that are $500, $1,000, $1,500, whatever. We're talking about a whole different zip code now. This is the biggest bull market in the history of cards. It's not a set. It's not a brand. It's not a sport. It's not a rookie. It's everything. Every wax product is good. Every decent rookie is on fire. I mean, it is crazy. But again, we started seeing this in 2017. I would actually argue the guys coming out now saying how, oh, the market's great. Well, guess what? You're a year and a half late to the party. There's been a lot of dancing before you got here. So just rest assured. I mean, yes, you're right. It's a bull market. And we need to get that attention out there. Show people what this industry is doing. Show them the performance of cards. It's unreal. The value increases. Look at SP Derek Jeter's. Oh my golly. I sold a couple of PSA 9s for $3,400 maybe 4 months ago. Now $6,000. I mean, it's just these things are going up so fast. But there's just not enough supply. This isn't Pinterest stock where they solicit and sell 30 million shares. And then, oh, the underwriters get to buy an extra allotment of 11 million shares. We're talking about a lot of these cards on a Bowman Chrome-based rookie auto. We're talking about most likely 1,500 copies or a refractor 500 or a blue refractor 150 or 250 or, you know, that's the point here. We have such a limited supply. Exquisite LeBron's 99, exquisite Cup Crosby's 99. You know, pick your card. But these iconic cards are in limited production. Even like a Topps Chrome LeBron, how many are there really? 10,000, 8,000. We're still talking about peanut volume. No volume at all. That if demand is substantial, there is no chance that there's enough supply to meet demand, not even remotely close. So what's happened is, yes, this hobby had a period where it was not the great hobby of yesteryear. It was really much smaller, much more niche. You know, that's over. We've left that behind. Most great markets are stagnant for a while and then take off. They're not hot every minute from beginning to end. When that happens is typically when you're dealing in tulips. Tulips went from being nothing to through the moon in Holland back in the whatever years that was, 1400s, 1600s, whatever. And then out of nowhere, crash. You know, we're not in that situation with cards. We've been up. We've been down, but this long 10-year kind of flat period for cards set the stage for this rally. There's just not enough cards. So to me, yes, Gary V, if you're listening, you're right. We are in the midst of a bull market, but we're not at the beginning of a bull market. We've been bulling for a year and a half, and there is no end in sight. Will there be some bumps in the road? Absolutely. Some things are becoming incredibly expensive. But the same thing happens in the stock market. I mean, I've heard people for years saying Amazon, they never will make money. They went through 10 years, 15 years as a publicly traded stock, never made a penny, lost money every single quarter. Yet look at Amazon. You got filthy rich buying Amazon, and there's a lot of Amazon stock to buy. It's never hard to buy. On the contrary, go try to buy Mookie Betts colored refractors. It's pretty hard to buy. It's pretty hard to build a position. In the stock market, you can buy as much of a stock as you can afford very, very easily. Not here. And so I'm telling you, I see an incredible opportunity because everything is short relative. Even when things are overproduced, relative, they're short. So to me, yes, Gary, you're right. We're rolling. The bull market's here. But it didn't just start. We've got a lot of steam. And we've got enough steam that this thing is proving it's legit. This isn't an out of nowhere, straight through the roof pump. This is a very steady growth for the last year and a half that's culminating in craziness and in exuberance. And I'm not going to say irrational exuberance because I actually think the supply justifies some of the prices. But there's a little irrational exuberance here and there, which we'll talk about in a few minutes when we get to our kind of like super sleeper buys and be careful, just from hobby experience, whatever. But I would just tell you, we just have to, as a market, continue to keep our fingers crossed and our hands together praying that the manufacturers continue to produce in responsible quantities. Because I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not saying this because I'm a manufacturer. I'm a collector too. So I'm going to say this as a collector. Yay. Great job, manufacturers. You've shown incredible restraint. You've done it right. You've kept the production at reasonable levels. Unfortunately, stores can't get enough, which is a negative. Collectors have trouble buying the stuff, which is a negative. But prices are going up because there's just not enough product. And again, limited supply. These rookies can only sign so many autographs. They're maxed out. Panini and us and Topps, and we can't get the rookies to sign much more than they're signing right now. And as long as autographs are a key component in these products, we're done. We can't make any more. So I'm telling you, right here, right now, as long as the production levels stay where they're at or very close to it, this bull market ain't ending anytime soon. And if people are naysayers and they tell you how it's overhyped, it's not legit, it's this or that, don't listen. I'm telling you right here, there's not enough cards for the money that's out there to buy good stuff. So anyway, Gary V, love seeing you out there. Keep pumping up the industry. We love that. Think it's good for the business. The more awareness we can bring to this bull market, the better. To this great hobby, if you're truly just a collector, the better. But I think we also need to not listen to pundits that just kind of pop up out of nowhere. Let's listen to some of the guys that have been around. Because while I'm very bullish, there might be some people out there who have a great argument why this bull market's not going to last. I'm not buying it. If they don't believe, sell me your good stuff. I'll take it all. Because I'm telling you, this bull market is here to stay. So anyway, that's just a 2-second perspective on that. I've seen a lot of writing about Gary V, and I just find it, I found that whole interview very interesting. I guess that was with Rich Eisen, maybe, or whoever it was. I found it very interesting, but I think we bring a different perspective knowing that this bull market's been running for a while and there's no end in sight. Lastly, I want to talk a little bit about, I guess, what's going on in the market in terms of opportunities, things you can buy at the right levels right now, and maybe a few things that you need to avoid at the current levels. And these are just my observations. You don't have to, you know, I can only speak from my experience as one of the biggest buyers on eBay. We spend about $3 million a year, maybe $3.5 million a year on eBay. So we're buying tons of cards for our buybacks constantly. So we're watching that as close as anybody. We're seeing trends. We see things happen. And then that plus 30 years of experience. I mean, I've been a dealer since 1987. So, I mean, I've got over 30 years as a dealer, which tells you that I'm getting pretty old. But it also tells you that, you know, I've seen it all. I've seen things go up for no reason. I've seen things go up for good reason. I've seen players get hurt. I've seen all the things that can make or break you. And I think one of the things I'm seeing coming down the horizon that basically looks like a screaming buying opportunity. It's not today, though. You got to be patient. But with 2019-2020 basketball, Zion Williamson, everybody is pumped. Everybody thinks this guy is the next fill in the blank. Jordan, LeBron, whoever you think is the greatest, whatever. They think Zion Williamson's going to be that. He will definitely be the most hyped player in the last 10 years and maybe the most hyped player in the history of rookie trading cards. He's going to be hyped at an epic level. And when I say epic, I'm talking about there will not be an autograph of this guy, I don't think. You'll be lucky if there's one that's available for $200. Lucky. Probably $300. Never mind $35,000 or $50,000 for a National Treasures. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine the prices this guy is going to sell for. But in no way, shape, or form am I telling you that this is the buy. This is the once-in-a-lifetime investment. People are going to try to sell you that snake oil, but do not buy that snake oil. He's going to be a great player, and he may prove to be a great investment. But I think one of the best buying opportunities will be when Zion mania is running wild. I believe everything else, especially in basketball, is going to get kicked to the curb. You saw it this year with Luka Doncic. When Luka Doncic got hot, everybody sold Donovan Mitchell's, Jason Tatum's. I mean, these guys from last year that were on fire last year suddenly got kicked to the curb. And suddenly, and yes, Donovan Mitchell didn't quite repeat the same performance he had the year before, obviously, but those cards dropped 50%, 40%. They dropped huge while everyone went running for Luka. Luka this, Luka that. Luka stuff went crazy. I think you're going to see that on mega steroids next year. I think everybody's going to be buying Zion, regardless of the price. It will be a mania the likes of which is, it's crazy. But what's going to happen is buying opportunities are going to spring up everywhere. In basketball, for sure. I see 10, 15 guys that could end up being steals. I mean, definitely Luka, who's priced high right now, obviously is going to come down. But guys like Tatum and Mitchell and I'm trying to think of Joel Embiid. And, you know, if you like Ben Simmons, any of these guys you like. I'm not even saying who the guy is to buy. I'm saying anybody in basketball rookie cards that is not named Zion Williamson is going to probably become a screaming buy. You've got to run grab those cards when everybody else is looking the other way. Because they're all going to be so focused on Zion, they're not going to be paying attention to these other guys. And if, whether Zion falters or not, who knows what's going to happen. But regardless, these other guys are going to be a screaming buy. So that's what I'm looking for a lot of times. I'm thinking, what is the point where I need to just buy in like crazy? And to me, in basketball, that's the spot. The same way when Mahomes went crazy this last year, you've been able to buy Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, and he did have some injury issues, and that's part of the reason. But Carson Wentz, there's a lot of guys that you've been able to buy at really, really good levels. Because everybody's focus was Pat Mahomes. And again, Baker Mayfield took over this year's crop. What happens? The attention has kind of pulled back on some of these other guys. And so that's where I guess the first thing I would say is you don't have to be a lemming. You don't have to go chase the money. You don't have to go chase the players. Because by the time you finally catch up, you're going to have nowhere to go but downhill because you're only going to catch up when the market's done making its big move. It's very hard to catch a skyrocket. And it's also hard to catch a falling knife. But I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to get cut on the way down with a falling knife than to catch a rocket. Trust me, you're going to chase these guys. You're not going to win because by the time you catch them, it's going to be too late. So that would be my first thing tonight, just from experience. I would urge you to not fall for whatever the hot hype guy is every single time. Yes, Kyler Murray is going to be fantastic. I do believe that. His prices also are not at the crazy levels of Pat Mahomes or the crazy levels Zion's going to be or the crazy Connor McDavid levels or the I mean, you pick your guy. You know, the crazy Vlad Jr. prices, whatever it is. If Kyler gets to that stage, then you should probably be looking at other guys and see an opportunity there. But I think so far, we haven't seen that in 2019 football. No one is so crazily priced. But so that's my step one. Great buys. Looking where everyone else is not. Number two, everybody's buying Chrome right now. If a guy has a Chrome autographed rookie card, someone is specking on that guy. Even the worst prospect, someone's trying to catch lightning in a bottle. But everybody's chasing everybody. I would urge you not to just automatically go for the guy that's trading the highest. I love Wander Franco. Love that guy. He does a lot of good stuff. I think Vlad has a chance of being a very, very, very big player. Acuna looks like he's the closest thing to someday maybe becoming a Trout. You know, there's a lot of guys like that that are really, really good. But I think there's opportunities. Because again, when everybody's looking at those headliners, you've got to look at where value lies. And for the longest time, it was Mookie Betts. Until about a year and a half ago, you could buy Mookie Betts Chrome Auto 95s for under $200. I know that me and Joe in my office, Joe Clemens in my office, we bought everyone we could find on eBay for the longest time. because we knew that that card was underpriced. Now, my theory at the time was it was too new. That because the card was only from 2014, it would take some time for the card to go crazy. Now, obviously, that wasn't the right answer because look at Vlad and these guys that came out in 2017, 2018. They're going crazy already. So, obviously, the age of the card really doesn't mean a hill of beans. But the idea was the same. People were not ready for Mookie to take that next step as a card yet. And it stayed cheap way too long. You know, it stayed cheap way too long. So I see guys in the market that I think could beat this. So I'm going to tell you two of the guys that I personally have been pigeonholing. And I probably shouldn't even tell you because by telling you, I'm basically creating a situation where it's going to be harder for me to continue to accumulate. But I'll tell you because I've already accumulated over 100 of each in Gem Mint, either 9.5s, 10s, or what have you. Number one, Andrew Benintendi of the Boston Red Sox. He's not having a great start to this year, so this really actually may be a perfect time to buy. He's a charismatic young guy. The fans there love him. The guy does a lot of good stuff. He does a lot of things well. The only knock on him is that he will never be the best player on his team. But I think we can get past that. I think we're going to get past the fact that he's not going to be the best player since Mookie Betts is going to end up being one of the best players to play the game, potentially. So you have to recognize that is probably the one negative to the guy. But I've been buying everyone in sight. 140, 150, 160, 170, 180, 190. It doesn't even matter. Because I did this with Betts too. I sold Betts too early. Absolutely. I did not ride that wave. I took profits way too fast, and shame on me for that one, for not being visionary enough on that. But Andrew Benintendi, to me, for an under 200 guy, there's a lot of upside there. Because if he does what he can do, he will be a $300 to $400 chrome 100% in 9.5 or 10. The other guy I've been buying is Jonathan India. Now, yes, he's probably Nick Senzel light, but raws are $40 on eBay. Nowadays, you can't buy anybody in chrome who's got big upside for $40. That's one of the guys that I'm just buying everyone inside. I just buy them all, unless they're terribly centered. If they're decent centered at all, they're in my collection now. Because I think he's a great buy. Again, it's not about buying Benintendi or India. It's the same thing as I said about when everyone's buying Zion, look the other way. Same thing. Buy the guys that not everybody is chasing, like the latest lemming who thinks they're going to miss the train. You don't have to be that guy. Go the other direction. Look for value. Now, I'm not saying go buy chrome autographs of anybody who's $2 because, hey, if it's $2, there's huge upside. I'm talking about really doing your homework and looking for guys that are underappreciated, whether it's India, whether it's Drew Waters, whether it's Alberto Mondesi, whether it's, and again, he's $150, probably $100, but you know what I'm saying here. Whether it's Kyle Tucker, who's $100 on 9.5s, you know, there's guys out there who are $100 and less who have great upside. Heck, Alex Kirilov, you can buy for $170, and I'm telling you, that guy can bomb. You can buy PSA 10s for $170, $180. I mean, so my point again is do not fall for the chase for this mega whatever, which is currently Vlad, Wander, Acuna. And again, I think some of these guys are really good players, so I'm not saying they're not. But at the prices they're at, if you're doing this as an investment and not just as a collectible or something to put in your notebook so you can look at it and enjoy it, if you're doing this with value in mind, I think you're making a mistake if you're not looking at that next group of guys who are underappreciated because everybody's blinded by the big names. Now, with that being said, the one thing that is going to happen, in my opinion, when Zion goes crazy, and as some guys continue to blossom, whether it's Vlad or whoever, you're going to see other stuff sell off. That was like my big upside, hey, you got to go buy. When everyone's looking the other way, go buy the cheap guys. I'm going to tell you the same thing here too, but there's one thing you got to be careful with. There are guys right now that are also overvalued who are very, very risky. And I'll tell you why I think they're risky. And I think you just have to think, if everyone's going to be buying other guys anyway, like Zion, which I think is going to suck so much money out of the business, it's going to be insane. But I think if you look at that and say, okay, if a lot of stuff's going to go down, some stuff may go down more than others. My first one is Pat Mahomes. Everybody loves this guy. He had a season for the ages, 50 touchdowns for the love of. I mean, this guy was fire, straight fire, but he doesn't have Tariq Hill. He has Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman, who caught maybe 40 passes in college. I mean, burner, no doubt about it. Could be Tyreek Hill, could not be. But his supporting cast, he does have Travis Kelce, which hasn't changed, and he's phenomenal. But this supporting cast is not the same. He was a regression candidate anyway. And very likely, very possibly, this could be a much tougher sophomore season for Pat Mahomes, or a much tougher third season for Pat Mahomes, second season at the helm. So to me, if you're holding a national treasures Mahomes, you know, they got up to like 12 or 13,000, maybe 14,000. Now they're around 10,000, 9,000, whatever they are. If you're holding that card, if things don't go well this season, honestly, you probably deserve what's coming to you. There is no reason with all that risk priced in to be holding that card at this stage. There are much, 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 much better buys out there. And even if you love Mahomes, I'd rather see you take that $9,000 treasures and buy 20 prisms. Because I think 20 Mahomes Inc. long-term will probably have more value than one treasures Mahomes. And if it goes bad and this guy gets soft, I think Mahomes is still, I think you're going to be glad you have 20 Mahomes autographs instead of one. So that's a big risk to me. I'm scared of him a little bit. Definitely a little bit scared of Luka Doncic. Not because I don't think he's a great player, because he is a good player. I know there's podcasts that say they think he's terrible and Lonzo Ball's better, whatever. I don't buy that. Maybe they think he's better for the money. The fact is, Luka is very popular. He's very internationally popular already. So that's a huge plus. But when everyone's buying Zion, Luka is about to become the Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, sell him guy, and I think there's huge downside there. Again, will he be worth nothing? No, of course not. I just think it can go down. Even if he plays great, I think it can go down because it's going to be Zion mania running wild. So, again, those are just a few thoughts. Every week I'll try to just give you a couple of insights, things I'm noticing, things I'm seeing. I think the whole message I would have you walk away with is, when everybody zigs, and I mean everybody zigs, you got to zag. And I'm not saying do something stupid and buy a guy that no one in the whole world thinks has a chance. But look at the guy who's shown that he can do it, but it's a little underappreciated either because he got overheated before and he's taken a step back, or a guy that looks like he's poised to take off and is on the verge, very close to what he needs to be successful. And you know what? A year from now, we may be saying that about Pat Mahomes. Maybe his stuff comes down and becomes really attractive. Today, I think he's very frothy. I think it's a risky proposition. So that's kind of it on that front. Again, we'll share more thoughts on this. And again, hit me up on Twitter at LeafCEO or at Leaf_cards. Tell me who you think a great buy is, who you'd like us to talk about in a future show, and we can just kind of kick it around, and I'll give you feedback. Maybe at some point we'll do like the equivalent of Jim Cramer's lightning round, where you guys hit me with a bunch of names, and I'll just be like, Mecole Hardman, huge upside, speedster, card potential in Kansas City is huge, but there's a lot of risk, or whatever it is. You know, we can talk about that. So again, I hope you enjoyed the show. Had a few different topics tonight. I've got a couple other ideas already flowing for the next podcast. But just a chance to chit-chat. So hit us up on Twitter, or you can email me even directly at brian@leaftradingcards.com if you have any thoughts. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Again, we don't have a set schedule. We'll come up with another podcast as soon as the topic arises, and I have a feeling there's a topic that's boiling to the point we can have a really good and maybe even a little bit controversial show coming next week even. So thanks a lot for your time. Hope to hear from you soon. And until then, keep collecting, keep investing. Most important thing of all, just because everybody zigs doesn't mean you can't zag. See you soon.